And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, unafeared, 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 here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Bangor, Maine, where we're visiting, about ready. Looks like the Love Bus is test-driven yesterday, today, maybe we get it like early next week and then back on the road again after we do some electronic upgrades and different stuff back up here in Bangor. We're going to go to Manchester to get it, or near Manchester and Weir. And then a couple of days up here, and before it freaking snows, snowing sucks, we got to get the Pacific Northwest. On our way, let's stop back through Virgins, Vermont, and say hello, where we have our friends Matt White and Dave Austin calling in. We did a show there a few weeks ago, and I know something was going on because the downloads of that show shot up. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, what happened, man? Somebody's something. So we're going to find out what's going on with Dave Austin. He's a sixth-generation Virgins, Vermont resident. He was an alderman there from 04 to 12, minus a six-year, went to Hawaii. Was reappointed in 2018, to fill a vacant seat. Reelected twice. He now sits on the Virgins City Council, and he's scheduled for another election in 22, so they got to put up with him for a couple of years more. Maybe we'll see what happened. David was chairman of the Planning Commission and was a central participant in revitalization efforts for the city of Virgins, which is the incorporated part's only like a square mile, but it's a farming community there and so on. There's always boss hog or somebody who wants to be in charge of something. That's how all these towns are. But when someone takes a look-y-see at how all the paperwork's being done, who's getting paid for what, and the grant and the development and the sustainable of somebody who wants to be in charge, and how did the taxpayers get to be their slaves, this is around the country. I mean, this is how it works. And it's if you can create a government program and you get them to fill out the paperwork right and everything, and all of a sudden your residents become our tax slaves. And if anybody cares or understands how this works or takes a look, then you find out, it's always somebody comes in from New York City, and they find or California or something, and they find a willing participants in there to enrich themselves. I tell you, it's like a template. It is a template. I can see it. Go on and on and on. He currently sits on the Addison County Economic Development Corporation. Well, that's enough about Dave. All right, Matt White. Matt became interested in Bitcoin decentralization and blockchain technology in 2013. In his 20s, Mr. White founded, owned, and operated an Alaska-based adventure tour company that served a global market for 18 years. Matt was active developing initiatives for non-extractive equity-based land use solutions on public lands. Wow, man, that'd be a whole show right there. He has worked with leading political science and thought leaders. Starting a business on a frontier is difficult when you're further challenged with shaping an industry in an unknown future environment. That's when it gets exciting. Matt is a professional skier, motorcycle racer, cyclist, adventurer, consultant, friend, and lover of life. The edge. There is no honest way to explain it, because the only people who really know where it is are the ones who have gone over. That's Hunter Thompson. All right. Now, I know Matt from Thrive. Truth Hive. This is a blockchain effort to try and have crowdsourced truth. You know, this is, but you find out in politics and in, you know, government and bit, like, a lot of times they don't want the truth. They go, whoa, you're gonna like publish the truth and everybody know the, what the truth is. The truth? Hell no. So we're in that time. Fortunately, you know, today it's a good time that we're going to be talking about all of this stuff because Rob Braxman in the third hour is the AKA the, you know, the privacy technology guy. You know, Joe Rogan made a big deal about him recently. Started binge watching his videos, and man, his channel's blown up. So he's we're lucky to have him come on and explain it to us whether you can be private, you know, with an Android phone or an Apple. You know, you can de-Google it and do all kinds of, you know, he's a big technology guy, you know, for decades. He's one of them. In the second hour, we got Al Espinoza. He's visiting down in Fort Worth now, but he's one of the activists with the signs everywhere sign that's going on in Michigan. In fact, we just made a bunch more stencils and templates for Michigan. Michigan, they had a Supreme Court ruling 7-0 in their state Supreme Court that the governor violated her authority in doing these all these lockdowns and so on. And then it was 4-3 striking down the law that she said that she used to do it. They go, oh, not only did you violate the law, that law sucks, okay? So it's just, it's amazing what's happening around the country. The people are fighting back. Well, in Virginia, Vermont, Dave and Matt. Let's say good morning, Dave and Matt. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Good morning. Hey, it's Matt. Hey, everybody.
Okay. Now, this is why did I get such an uptick in the traffic on that particular show that we did? I mean, it was like, damn. You know, somebody told somebody, it told somebody, it told a gazillion people. So, you know, and it was just in the last week or so. What happened?
Well, Ernie, we had a city council meeting the other night. You know, there's a bunch of folks that wanted to discuss this meeting back on the 16th and clear the air and you know, try to get things back on track and move forward with some real work. And during that meeting, you know, there Matt can talk a little more about this. But anyway, during that meeting, you know, Matt had made some statements regarding investigations, and it got people interested in what was going on. And so apparently during the thing, they started Googling Matt and Googling me. And, you know, a bunch of people came to realize that Matt and I had been on the show. And it's really very telling relative to the world that we live in today that, you know, that apparently for a bunch of these people, that was a problem for them. It's a problem that I, as an alderman, was on a radio podcast with you, with somebody that takes a libertarian view of the world as I do, you know, and so the takeaway message that I got from reading a bunch of these comments at the end of the Zoom meeting was, you know, you're a bad guy, I'm a bad guy, Matt's a bad guy, and I'm a bad guy specifically because I went on your show, and it's a specifically a conservative radio podcast. So that's what that tells us. I guess we're in a world where we can't communicate anymore, according to some folks.
Well, I've been through this kind of stuff before, and it's always been not that we're conservative or liberal or whatever. It's that we're libertarian. You know, it's truth. You know, you just go, that's what gets Matt in trouble, you know? You know, being a truth hive. We're going to find the truth. Not on our watch, you're not, you know? So it's all, when we come back, we'll talk about this. We're going into break. And I've been through this over 30 years, I'm telling you. And when they scream the loudest, you know you're doing them the most harm. And that's just how it works. And it'll be whatever distraction and so on, but they'll never address the issues that are being brought up because it can't. You know, it's too delighted, it's too bright.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know, in those sticky roads where we're going. Yeah, but, you know, it's not like I'm going to prevent you from having roads. If you want a road, go have a road, whatever. If you get in a community that decides they want to have a road, have a road. But this is where it always goes off the rails. When you get into a community, they're going to go majority. Majority is going to rule, and we're going to tell you and everything. And a lot of times, every time in that majority, there's somebody campaigning, which oftentimes means they're lying. When someone wants to uncover the truth, a lot of times you'll say, well, that's your truth, not my truth. You know, facts are facts. The truth is certain actions have repercussions. It may be good, bad, whatever, but they always spin it. They're wanting you to believe that whatever sacrifice that they want you to make in the good of something is for your own good. And oftentimes it's not, and they'll use guilt. They'll use you have too much privilege, or you have to share from each according to their abilities, to each according to their needs. This is what it boils down to. The American experiment. I mean, it's still an experiment. I mean, it ain't done yet. You know, the idea that you have a people that can govern themselves, vote for a preferential, I want this guy to represent me because I got to go plow, but they're bound down by the chains of the Constitution or an agreement or a charter or a something. Whenever they go outside those bounds, outside the law, outside what you agreed to, and what's constitutional? I mean, after a while, you just go, man, that you did what? So they change. We got to change it a little bit. We just saw the Free State of Jones last night with Matthew McConaughey or whatever. And I've been wanting to see it for a while, and we just, me and friends, another couple, watched it. And it's all, the government's bad, man, on all the sides. It's just, what happens when people just want to be left alone, which was the promise of government. That's why this show is Declare Your Independence. The purpose of government is the protection of individual rights. When it is abhorrent to that, when it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish it's your right, your duty. That's the declaration. That was the deal. So when you have someone come in and go, this is not the deal. Well, they go, damn it. And we thought we had all these people hoodwinked. We got this guy and, this community leader on our side. We got this community judge, this community city attorney, this community town manager, they say it's okay. We can steal from you. We can guilt you out of your money. We can obligate your children and grandchildren. They said it was okay. That's what a republic is. There are certain things you can't do. It violates this deal. Well, they'll massage it and come around and guilt you and whatever. The thing is that whenever you create a government, which means power, we have the power. And not only over the people then, this is what Thomas Jefferson was worried about. I mean, you got to pay as you go. Because if you don't, and you do this banker thing, or it's future thing, or, fractional reserve thing, or whatever, you'll be homeless on the land that your forebears got for you. And your children will go hungry. Well, being hungry is a common. Now, there is a bunch of stuff. How did we get here? It was this. And that's why I focused on small towns like Apache Junction, Quartzsite, and Florence, Henniker, Weir, and Virgins. When I take the love, but we go to these small communities, I already know what the template is. I've seen it a gazillion times. This is how it works. So when you have these grants being done from wherever, I mean, they're federal, they're going to want to do international. That's kind of what this IMF and World Bank and all this kind of, we do this to every country. Now they're just, we plundered all their money. Well, hell, let's go here, America. I had, John Hopkins, John. He is the gentleman that wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And I'm going, all we had, Perkins, John Perkins. When I had him on, he was like trying to clean his soul. He's going, look, I was part of the bad guys. I didn't really understand what was going on until you go to some community leaders, especially if you got the U.S. military, and you say, we're going to make your citizens our debt slaves and sign here. And if you don't sign here, it's your brains or your signature. And if they don't, then they either assassinate them, they do a coup, or they have a military invasion. This is how it worked. This is just standard operating procedure. And there's various levels of how they do that in little itty-bitty towns. And it comes from, it starts with the free money to help people. And if you don't want to help people, well, then you're a bad person. How about helping your own people? How about, you know, first, the people that, you know, paid for the road, the people that live here, you know, to stay in this community, to provide for its future, to want to invest in it and raise a family. And the people from these cities that have eaten out their substance, swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out their substance, and they go, I want to move the Virgins. Maybe. And that's what's happening. Your property values go up. People want to come there for the ideals of small town living. But you find out that the robber barons got there first, and they are already eating out their substance. And when you bring it up and you show how they're doing it and you ask a question, show, did you or did you not agree to this deal? What was it they agreed to? What did they keep on changing it on the fly? And if you don't let them change a deal they agreed to, then there's something wrong with you. I'm going, oh, okay. So we shine a light on it. How far off am I, Dave?
You're dead on. You're dead on. So, you know, what happened apparently after this this last city council meeting here a couple days ago is, you know, people just went crazy on social media. And, you know, I'm espousing conspiracy theories relative to this whole low income tax credit thing. And, you know, you're a bad guy. I'm a bad guy. Matt's a bad guy. Well, I woke up the morning after that meeting and I went out and picked 500 pounds of pumpkins and 200 pounds of squash for my little farm stand, feed people. Kids can have Halloween. But so that's basically it. I mean, and this thing with financing this low-income housing, you know, on the face of it, okay, we're doing a good thing. We're housing people that can't afford to live here. Well, okay, that's good, but this is not the way to do it. This is grossly inefficient. It creates all kinds of opportunity for overinflated costs and everything else. And it's just, it's not the way to go about it. And so I've really gotten a reaction. I really have gotten a reaction.
I'm wondering what the reaction is, and I apologize for going on such a rant there. I just wanted, you know, encapsulate this and why I'm interested, because I see this all over. It's a philosophy that's taking over. We're going to go in the break. When I come back, you know, we got two more segments, and I'm going to let Dave and Matt, you know, tell the whole story, begin to end from the last, because I haven't talked to him. Since we left, I'm like, you know, all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, man, this track, somebody's looking at something, because, man, that show just took off. You know, I mean, it's only, you know, like 100 or something downloads, but I mean, but all of a sudden you got a little bitty town, it's like 100 downloads, you know, in a day. I'm like, what the hell?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, we left it last time again. You know, there was an election coming up. There was meetings. There was some things brought up. Actually, ouch, quit it. At least three people resigned. They, no, we're going to have an election. We're going to do a selection again, you know. So in a small town like this, yeah, you know, a little, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in the future, you know, millions, or the next project of gazillions or whatever, you know, that stuff that they got planned. They got a plan, I guarantee that. You know, sustainable development, sustainable for them. I mean, you know, it's they're going to suck you dry and whatever the heck they're going to spread out amongst they, them, those. That won't leave you alone. So what they did is they had a special election. Well, in the special election, it's correct me if I'm wrong, there's six aldermen, city council, whatever you guys call it, and then I guess a mayor. So then you have, you know, for once office was, Ouch, quit it. It's one vote. I want to recount. Boom, it's a tie. Count these. Don't count these. These are spoiled. You know, it's same old, but it's a tie. So now you have to have another election. So you got to have another election to break this tie, which is the three people that got replaced are more on, hope and change or something. Okay. So we'll see who knows what, why these people are there, what are the forces aligned against what. Because all what I was interested in is that you have this LLC, this private corporation that took, you know, they get the grant money. Well, you guys get it. Then it becomes a deal as a loan to them, you know, for them to build it. And that's kind of seed money that, you know, authorizes a parent company that's, you know, through a NGO, you know, non-government organizations out of Boston doing this all over New England, I'm sure, and they come in, they go, well, this particular LLC is separate. Now, we got a bunch of these, and hopefully we can make money on all of them, but this one right here, you know, it's time for us to say, we're not going to pay you back. Sign here. Nope, we want you to pay back. We're not going to sign. Oh, really? Okay, so that's kind of what started there, but there's more than just that issue going at play here. So I guess we got to wait till this next election to see who signs. So where are we at? Are they going to sign a piece of paper say they don't need to pay the money back? Is that what this is about, or is there some other project on the horizon? What's going on?
Well, there's two things. One is, you know, what they want us to sign currently is a subordination agreement. It's for another project, and that would basically allow them to refinance it. What you're talking about here is the other project, which was a $660,000 loan from the city to this entity to construct this project. Now, it's a loan. A loan means you need to pay it back. And, you know, we've asked for detailed financials that were legally entitled to under the contract, and they won't give them to us. And so, you know, from my perspective, we have an asset here that collateralizes this loan. And it appears, based on the limited financials that we've seen, that it's losing money. And so I'm curious as to how they're going to pay it back. And also, city managers had numerous conversations with these folks that apparently they're not even planning on paying it back. And They've actually talked about, well, maybe you'd like to forgive the loan. You know, that's not going to happen.
Well, so then, of course, they'll eventually, you know, bankrupt the LLC, liquidate. That's why they have LLCs, so they can just go up. Now, life sucks, you know. So then does that that project has become an obligation or a drain on the city, or is it yours to manage now, or what?
It's more sophisticated than that, Ernie. There's been this kind of very similar fraud discovered around the country,
yeah.
But this one's a little bit more sophisticated in using NGOs and foundations. So what they have now is a structure where instead of potentially dumping the liability on the city, which will always be an option for them in perpetuity, is they have a construction-based tax program, and then they have a rehab tax program. So they can bleed this property out, bankrupt it, sell it to themselves, do another set of tax credits, rehab it, and do this in perpetuity.
and what's important to understand about these tax credits, okay, these tax credits come from HUD, Housing and Urban Development. They go to the state. In the case of the state of Vermont, it's Vermont Housing Finance Agency. Vermont Housing Finance Agency awards these tax credits to developers. This entity, Evernorth, along with Housing Vermont and Addison County Community Trust, they are the entities that own and control this project. And those tax credits are awarded. Guess how they're awarded? They're awarded based on the cost of the project. And that's either cost to construct or cost to rehab. There's different different programs, but I want everybody to think about that. The tax credits that they are awarded
have no value until a project comes up.
The tax credits that are awarded, they are awarded based on the value of the project. What does that tell you?
Well, they want bigger values for the project, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now materials cost what materials cost. Labor costs what labor costs. Soft costs, the planning, the engineering, the development fees, so on and so forth, those can be inflated. And from the limited look that I've had at things, that's exactly what tends to occur. Along with this other thing that's totally unrelated, the sidewalk that we could do for $21,000 that we got a bid associated with a grant for $300,000.
And whatever they bid now isn't going to matter, because I'm telling you, right here in Bangor, 2x4s that have been $2 a piece for 20 years are now $7 to $8 a 2x4. Plywood that was $10 is now $25 to $35 a sheet. You better be careful. There's cost plus and kind of the cost, and we sign off, and all of a sudden, you know, your building costs are twice as much, three times as much. Inflation's coming. Food shortages are coming. And while they're sitting there sitting fat while they're getting the plantation, you know, working for them, and you guys are it. Know what I mean?
Yeah, so these things, you know, so on the face of it, I think that why people get so defensive is, well, okay, we're providing housing for poor people. Well, what the hell is wrong with Dave Austin? He wants poor people to freeze? No, Dave Austin does not want that.
The free market does that. A hell of a lot better.
My mother grew up as one of 13 kids in the Depression. I get it, okay? I'm just saying this is not the way to do it. This is grossly inefficient. And it creates an opportunity for things that are not good. Hell, you know what, Ernie? They'd be better off just giving these people vouchers. I don't agree with that either, but they'd be better off just giving people vouchers and allowing the free market to do what the free market does.
You know, this has happened everywhere, different communities everywhere. They talk about for the poor, we need public transportation. Really is just a gazillion-dollar project. Somebody's going to make a bunch of money. But it was cheaper just to give everyone that would ride it a car. I'm going, what are we thinking? No, they're selling the idea that you're somehow owe something to somebody else. It's a sickness that they play on to make money and obligate your children, your grandchildren. And they've been convinced with Facebook or something that they're doing right. If you're not supporting this, you're bad. It's a peer pressure thing. It's a psyop. And well, I want everybody to know, it's a psyop. You're being conned.
Of course. And these people, you know, have unlimited money that they can print to have think tanks that just study Edward Bernays and
right. And
Ash and Milgram and Zimbardo. And, you know, you've got whatever programs you don't even know about in this huge country of ABC.
We're going to stay on this. I mean, you guys got it's like a little bitty Virgin square mile of how it's done. And I think the people, they're served by you guys detailing this and walking it through, because it's not so big that you can't understand it. Sure as hell see how they're doing it. We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. You know, what's the real thing here? Do you want to do good? You know, the big thing is I want to do good for myself and my family. Oh, you're selfish. If everybody was allowed to do for themselves, you wouldn't need a lot of what they're trying to say you need when they deprived you of the freedom to be able to do it yourself. Life, liberty, property. It's my life. I get to sustain my life. I get to, like, breathe in and out. You know, I take my liberty with my hands to provide shelter and food and, you know, such that. And that's my property. Life, liberty, property is just three ways of saying the same thing, that you own yourself. And you have governments are instituted among men to protect that right that you own yourself. If they're not doing that, then what the hell good are they? So when they come in, they say, oh, it's all about the feels, man. We got the feels. We're going to use, because we're social, you know, beautiful human beings that want to be liked. We want to be social. We want to help our neighbor. We want to help our family. We want. But they skew it. They go, we're going to pass a law to make, we're going to have you sacrifice your own self-interest and out of your family, your own children, for the idea that we're going to spend your money better for somebody else. Well, if you want to do that, well, try and keep it within these confines. You know, so a community wants to, you know, give some kind of incentive in the form of we're not going to tax you, or we're not going to permit you, or you're allowed to build your own house on your own land. If it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? I can have this tent in front of City Hall, you know, but if I take that tent and put it on land I own, I go to jail. When the hell did that happen? What was the idea here? No, you have a government permit program of, granted, we get to waste a lot of money. Whoa! Don't tell me how virtuous you are when you're not the one doing it. You just, I just passed a vote. I'm in favor of, you know, they steal somebody else's money in the idea of something. What kind of freaking Facebook program does that take to do that? I don't know, but we're finding out. So there are competing, if you want to take care of the poor, oftentimes give them a freaking job. Create an environment, you know, where they can prosper. Now, and I go, but what about freedom? Freedom's the answer. What's the freaking question? So Dave, is there other alternatives? Are we talking, is there something else you could do that would benefit the community and still show that you have a, you know, concern for your fellow man by giving them freedom? My vote. I mean, you know, what do you think might happen?
Well, I think there are alternatives, and I think that, you know, it's taken me all 55 years of my life, but I've come to the conclusion that simplicity is just about always favorable to complexity.
Okay? Thank you.
And so if we're talking about housing, you know, housing people that are having a tough time of it economically, you know, I'm not sure why it has to take multiple organizations that are full of six-figure salaries and attorneys and accountants and engineers, all of this other stuff to make this, and they'll readily admit that a lot of the costs are due to the complexity. Get rid of the complexity. Create a situation where, you know, I'm friends with a lot of these guys who are builders and, you know, have their own little construction companies. Create a situation where those guys can compete. Give them some grant money. I'll guarantee you those projects will get built, and they will get built in a much, much smarter, much more cost-efficient way, and it will likely even be a better product.
That's not the goal. You know, see,
we actually have a good model that's national, worldwide, in fact, and it's not perfect because it's been corrupted as well, but Habitat for Humanity.
Absolutely. You know, that was one of the biggest respects I had for President Carter. Instead of going to some program we're going to make, we're just going to do it. You know, hopefully the community get the hell out of the way and allow people to build homes.
These people that have been, they've been through these schools, and they literally believe if the word nonprofit is involved, that nobody's making any money. And it's the most insane idea in the world.
Yeah. And we have a situation now where this entity, Evernorth, do you know what their business is?
No.
Their business is something called tax credit syndication. That is what they do. They process and deal with tax credit syndication. When our grandparents...
So wait. You see, it's like an investment thing, like a hedge fund for, people...
We gotta make this simple because we're running out of time. But basically, they get these tax credits, which have no value until they build get a project in play that can be at whatever cost, the higher the better, because that's the value of the tax credits. Then they set up a company where they're the managing partner, and they sell the other shares always consistently to the large banks and institutional investors. They're the managing partner. So they take something of no value, create a project of dubious value, don't provide the partners any financials, and then sell the returns to the banks. And they're going to do this in perpetuity, because now they can bleed them out once And then going into the secondary loan, the first return is at 9%. The next one's at 4%. And they just do it again.
It's a money machine at the sacrifice of the community's future. It's a sacrifice of your children. And Dave doing this, coming out and bringing this up, I don't understand. I do understand the pushback. It's profit and money because we can and we got social media.
We posted a video in the show notes, Donna and I, earlier of a documentary, a PBS Frontline documentary. Of course, we've been called conspiracy theorists because we bring this up. So maybe that source will be more palatable. From 2017, where this was being done with a bunch of private developers kind of in a super cowboy atmosphere. And this documentary really lays this out. I want to tell you how much more sophisticated this is of what's going on now with these NGOs and large non-taxable foundations that I can tie all the way back to the Federal Reserve. And I'm telling you, they are turning this country into a renter society with this COVID lockdown, whatever you want to call it, whatever you believe it is. There are people that are going to lose their homes en masse. There are people who have rental properties that have their retirement built around this that are going to lose those properties because they're not getting rent now. They'll get foreclosed on. They'll get put into a special operations from the Fed into BlackRock.
Okay, before we run out of time, this is great stuff. I'm glad you guys are bringing this up. We're going to keep this covered because you guys are a good example.
Massive fraud in the making, and it's going to roll out over the next few years. And they're setting up these entities like Evernorth, that is now regional. It's not good enough.
No. I understand. We'll do some more shows on this, but I need to ask this question. What is the sentiment of the people there in Virgins? Are they all like oblivious? We don't care. Or, yeah, we
nobody
do know
knows.
If we want to do it,
nobody
or we don't
knows.
Understand
no,
it.
No, nobody knows. I mean, I do know this. I know that there's a group of people that are very, very unhappy with me.
But why? What did it? Because they think they know what's going on, or you're just not PC enough, or they
have been played on in a super sophisticated way all through their education. Dave and I opted out of society at 10 years old, and we're existing in it, but we see things from a very different light. I was 26 years on top of a mountain in Alaska, and I came home and said, "What happened to my hometown?" Dave's been here. The guy's Jimmy Stewart of the damn place from A Wonderful Life. He helped create this atmosphere these people want to live in, and they want to crap all over me.
Okay, who does? Why? Is it? It's a psyop? It's because they watched the right movie? They went to college? What?
We're trying to sort the criminals from the people who actually believe that what the criminals are telling them is true and that their heartstrings have been played, that Dave and I are racist and we're horrible and all these things because we ask questions about something. God forbid you ask how honest the tooth fairy is when they come in your house.
In the 90s, it was the children. It's for the children. It's for the children.
Oh, my God. And now it's for
racial equality, or it's for social justice, or it's always something, but they never get it. We get more poverty. We get more of this. And the reason is because they're not protecting the rights of the individual. And the whole point of your community and being elected there is to do that, and they don't. Why?
I'm not a real complicated guy, Ernie. I grew up here. I want to be able to continue to afford to live here. This place is almost more expensive than some other places. I mean, they just released the latest property.
Okay, we're going into the end of the show. They can't hear you over the music. We're not done. When's the election? When's this next election for the tie runoff?
The election is on the 20th.
20th. All right, Donna, make sure you get them on after the 20th. Well, hell, it's going to take them a week to figure out 500 ballots. But go ahead and call them on the 21st, and we'll set up another show, okay? Donna's going to get you guys back on. We're going to find out. We're going to cover this on a regular basis because this is an example of what's happening to America. You're American, ain't ya? Stand up.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it.
I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Of the year, and declare your independence from here, Ernest Hancock. Oh, now we got Al is a young man, 20 years old. We went to Michigan. We're working with Rick. We had him on last couple of days and explaining it to us what's going on. And in Michigan, you know, we went to Upper Michigan to, you know, spread the love up there with the Love Bus. I go, you know, it's lovebuslibertytour.com. The Love Bus Liberty Tour is to help people just like we had on the last hour, and to go and help people just like Rick and his family and his kids and his wife and Al. When we set up the, after we had gone up to Upper Michigan, they went up there and we were at a campground, and we just covered all of Upper Michigan because they never get any love. And then we went down to his home, which is, I don't know, less than an hour west of Detroit. And it's a beautiful area until it's snow. But I guess people like snow that like snow, but I'm from Arizona. But anyway, so what happens is we go down. They cleaned out their garage, got it all set, had a ping pong table that was a perfect size for making the signs that we did. Big, giant roll of 450 yards long of 61 inches wide, and we can make with some signs. Then we had the little yard signs thing. We made these templates. We go there. We cut them out with the laser. We got a bunch more, and we put them up, and they just blanketed their area. Well, it causes some conversation. Well, as we set it up, we were coming back the next day. We go down the street like 300 yards away, and in less than 20 minutes, they'd been there. You know, Al and a friend, Quaid. Yeah, I mean, I was trying to think. Yeah, from Total Recall. I remember Quaid. Okay, so you and your friend, you know, they're early 20s or so, and they're standing there. COVID is a hoax. You know, unmask yourself, Michigan, or something like. They were just standing there holding signs, thinking that they were going to get jeered a lot, and they were cheered. They were like, woohoo, people pulling over. That. Thank you. I knew this was going to happen. Sooner or later, people are just going to go, God, man, are you kidding me? Stop. Well, you know, it takes a 20-year-old to, you know, get the timing. And they've been standing there a little while enjoying the adulation from their citizenry. And we pulled over and said, oh, we're your new best friends. Did you know over here we're going to be making signs, come tomorrow and we'll do some ass whipping? And they go, well, I know those guys. I know their son. I went to school with them. We were friends in school. I've been over there. All of a sudden, serendipity, man. It just synchronicity comes together, birds of a feather. You know, a law of attraction. And here it comes. So they started making a bunch of signs, and we put them up. Boom! You know, that weekend. Then we left. They keep making them. Then Al left to go help a friend move to Colorado. So he's been gone for a little bit, but he's on his way back. So he'll be back in time for production of some new templates that we created. And I just told him, I said, go on the Telegram and take a look at the signs we just made yesterday for you guys in response to the Supreme Court decision in Michigan. Went 7-0. Saying that the governor violated the law that she was justified using, and we're going to lock down if I keep. And I go, no, Supreme Court saith, you're full of crap. Oh, and by the way, 4-3 against the very law that she was using. Not only did you do that law wrong, the law is unconstitutional according to Michigan State Constitution. So, you know, damn it, I hate when that happens. The attorney general says, no, we're not doing it. But what happens? You still got some woke county guys going, yeah, but we're going to enforce and have to, and you got it anyway because I got a shiny badge, and we say, okay, you the Supreme Court doesn't matter. All right. Signs everywhere. So this is where Al's coming back, going to get some. All right, so we're up to date. All right, tell me, Al, what kind of feedback did you, was there any feedback at all, or you just didn't care, you're just putting up signs? You know, what'd your friends have to say? What was going on?
I mean, so for the most part, the people that did know that I did it, it was mixed. You know, nobody was, like, upset that I did it. There were a few people that were like, oh, yeah, right on, like, go for it. There were a few people that were like, oh, I disagree, but, like, you know, that's cool that you're standing up for what you believe in, so.
Yeah. You know, I get to have an opinion. It's not my fault that I'm better at expressing it than you are. You know, this is what did you find out, though? I mean, that was one thing that I think surprised you is the overwhelming support that they don't want you to know is there, that people think this is stupid. You know, I mean, is that the impression you got?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, even the people that, you know, are wearing the mask everywhere and, you know, they, you know, agree with the, you know, the shutdowns and all that. Like, a lot of people are just going along with it because they feel like they have to. There's, like, social pressure and legal pressure to do it. Even though, the mandates weren't legal, they, you know, they were told that they were legal. They were told they had to do it by the authorities. So a lot of people just kind of, like, fall in line and, like, well, I guess this is good. But deep down, they're like, this is really stupid. I really don't want to do any of this.
I don't think they understand, and they won't until later. But those of us that have been around a while or know anything about history know that this tactic, this isolation with the mask, you know, masks make me feel alone. You know, I like that particular sign, you know, for that reason. It's just it's all about the feels, you know. I mean, and that's what they want. They want you not to. I never wear a mask. You know, I just because I just don't, you know, and usually when I go into some big box, I go straight to the first employee, look them right in the face. Can you help me find whatever? They don't care. They're not going to say anything. They, you know, nobody's going to make them, or they had, you know, don't piss off the customers or whatever. I'm getting the impression that they're kind of backing off and I don't have any problems anymore. But some guys, I'm in there, people are wearing signs. They nod at me and they smile. They're glad that I'm not wearing a mask, but they are. And I'm like, what is the disconnect here? What is it's fear of something. What do you think it is?
I think it's a couple things. I think it's fear of one, the fines that Whitmer imposed if you, you don't have a mask. And the second being the social pressure. You know, there's, you know, I don't wear a mask anywhere either. I do have a Soviet era gas mask in case there's a place I need to go into and they're being, you know, jerks about the mask. but I think most people are just afraid because, you know, there will be people that will come up and be like, where's your mask? Like, why aren't you wearing a mask? Put on your mask. And I think a lot of people are just afraid of that interaction. A lot of people have just become, you know, I guess you could say comfortable. You know what I mean? They don't want to break out of that comfort zone.
I had that experience one time. It was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and several of us were, you know, going to a restaurant, particularly because they didn't require masks. You know, I mean, we're going there. They take cryptocurrency. You know, that's a really nice place. We're going there, and on the sidewalk, some elderly woman goes, "Where's your mask? Get your mask!" You know, and I don't have one. I know better. And, you know, that was it. That's, I mean, I didn't even know what to say. That's the first time it ever happened to me. And, you know, but that it stuck out that somebody, you know, it's amazing that they can just call them Karens. You know, they go, "Yeah, you just Karened me," or something, that it has a name to it already. And what do you think that means when somebody says, you know, they're a Karen? What does that mean?
Means they're just rude. They're, you know, up in your business when they shouldn't be.
Up in your business! All right, we're going into break. We'll come back with Al Espinoza. You know, he's a young man that took it on his own. On his own. You know, I'm taking one step forward. Me and a friend, you know, Quade, we're just going to go hold up a sign. Because, damn, somebody needs to hold up a sign. And boom!
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Al Espinoza, young Michigan activist. I know how this works. You know, I've been through this for decades. And it's just like in the Lovelution, man. They get all fired out, but I got to warn them. I go, look, you know, you got to pace yourself. You got to take care of your own business. You got to make sure you got your bills paid and your family taken care of and everything, and spare a little time, because they get so excited and filled with righteous indignation, ass whipping, and they have an effect. And, well, these guys got unlimited resources and unlimited time to do all kinds of stuff with every agency under the sun. And they'll go, nope, and we'll just beat them into the ground. Well, if you just go, look, we just got set up. I can make, I don't know, 100 signs in an hour and a half by myself with my friends. And then we put them up on my way to work or waited, you know, then what? You know, what are you going to do? You know, I don't know. We're going to find out. I guarantee you that. Well, Al, we're going to talk about, he's got an opinion about Whitmer, the governor, and, you know, in the FBI thing, now they're talking about there was a plan to kidnap and Al quit it and distraction from, and we got to get this Supreme Court decision off the headlines. It's always, they always do this kind of stuff. And then a shout out to one of their friends, Justin, that's joined he and Quaid in putting up these signs. Then it'll be a fourth guy, a fifth guy, a sixth guy. It'll just be a thing, because you're having an impact and you're having fun. I want to have fun. I want to have an impact. Let me pick me. So then, of course, you get, you know, somebody will send you a fine if they don't like your truck or something. I mean, you know, it's always get ready, you know, so make sure you got your crap straight. Now, Commerce, where Rick lives, and you live close by there, is a township. And I'm like, what the hell is a township? Well, it's like 36 by 36 miles that they created here. This is y'all's to develop and peace out. So there's always some kind of structure and somebody, a shiny badge, to be in charge of something. This mindset, the whole purpose of any government, defense of individual rights, not the how much you can, you know, reap reward from tax slaves. I mean, this is, anyway, we're going to find out. This is what's happening around the country, and that's why the LoveBusLibertyTour.com is going around, and we, you know, the bus, remember we had to have it work. They finally are doing test drive today, and hopefully we'll be able to pick it up early next week. Then we need next week to get a bunch more templates done, stencils, get resupplied, do some electronic upgrades and get everything all done. And then maybe by next week or in the next week, we're on our way to Pacific Northwest, and we'll stop by and give you more goodies. Oh, and Derek's here. Everybody needs first responders 18 by 25 templates. That's the one. Yeah, we'll get that taken care of. We'll get some stuff shipped out. We got to send to you guys so you can have it when you get back to Michigan and ready, and we're on it. Boom, 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 boom. We are here to serve. Now, what's your Whitmer, then the Supreme Court decision and everything on that? And I had you go to the Telegram to see the why so serious Joker Whitmer stencil sign that we made. What would you think of that?
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I mean, she's evil. It's perfect.
Well, what, how do you think you're going to, you know, you saw that we made it to where you can, you know, if somebody did it, it's not for me to say whether they put it on a gazillion telephone poles or not.
Somebody did.
Somebody did that. You know, they should be. I don't know, applauded or something. But, you know, this, I'm not doing it. I can't make a sign. I'll have the first man make a sign. Well, somebody does. That's not my thing, man. I don't know what you're talking about, you know. So this is, you got, you know, I'm telling you, you know, stuff's going to happen, because when you're effective, little bitty old Al Espinoza, 20-year-old and his friends, you're an enemy of the state or the county of the something. I mean, they don't like it. And who are you up against? What do you know about Whitmer?
Okay, so basically my opinion on the whole Whitmer thing. There's been quite a bit of news about Whitmer the past few days. Basically, there was obviously the Supreme Court decision that struck down her powers, and immediately Whitmer turned to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and had them reenact almost all of her mandates, but under the MDHHS, so it's not under the emergency powers, which just basically made the, you know, the Supreme Court decision null and void. You know, she said she's going to work to make sure she keeps her powers. She's telling everybody, I need my powers. I need my powers to keep you safe. Don't you understand? I'm keeping you safe. And so basically
Safe in your prison cell?
Yeah, exactly. Stay home so I can keep you safe. But, yeah, so basically all that came out, and then she just kind of circumvented the ruling and, you know, pulled some crony stuff and just kind of, you know, had her people at the MDHHS do all her orders for her.
Well, MDHS, what's that? Michigan Department of Health and Service something?
Health and Human Services, yeah.
Okay.
Basically like the health department for Michigan. And yeah, so then immediately after all this happens, you know, the headlines are, oh, Michigan or, you know, Michigan Governor Whitmer, you know, has the MDHHS put in all of her executive orders. And then as soon as that headline hits, oh, what happens next? Some weird kidnapping plot, you know, the FBI finds out. And, I personally just don't buy it. I think it's just a distraction piece to, distract from the important thing going on. In my opinion, the FBI has lost all credibility. You know, the Trump collusion hoax, you know, where they have text messages from top members in the FBI saying, like, we have to make up evidence on this guy. You know, oh, man, we're going to get caught. And they took out insurance. I don't even know how that works, but they took out insurance in case they got caught lying and making up evidence. I really don't trust anything the FBI has to say. And it very well, you know, it could have possibly happened. You know, they had some useful idiots that they, you know, coaxed into, attempting to do it or whatever. But I just don't really, I don't really believe it. I think it's just,
you know, we're in a dangerous time, Al, and you're 20 years old and you have a lot more awareness than most 20 year olds. And I'm just like, why? You know, this is, you see that, I mean, you're going in with a much better understanding of how things really work. And does that serve you, or is it a curse, or you feel better because of it, more prepared? I mean, you know, are you getting more girlfriends? I mean, you know, I mean, you know, what's your incentive?
I mean, it's a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit of both. It's like, it's a blessing and a curse. You know, I'm very happy that I know everything, or not know everything, but you know what I mean? Like, kind of understand things a little better. You know, I kind of understand the world around me a little better, which kind of helps me to understand how I fit into it. So that's definitely, you know, a blessing. You know, it's also a curse sometimes because, you know, a lot of the people, you know, around me and a lot of just, you know, normal people, you know, if they heard what I had to say, they would just think I'm crazy. You know, they'd be like, oh man, he's gone off the deep end. And it's, obviously there's some times where it's rough because you sit back and you're like, oh my gosh, everything is messed up. Like everything's corrupt and, you know, there's all this evil and, you know, so sometimes, you know, it kind of hits and it's a little rough, but you know, most of the time I'm very grateful.
And we're grateful for you. We're going into break. We'll be right back. 4 minutes, but I tell you, you know, of course there's a bunch of outs. And Justin, and Quade, and Mark, and Dave's, and Derek's, and Ernie. And they're all over the place. All you got to do is just piss us off.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, we don't need no stinking ads. We got flying cars. They're loud and they bite me and I do and whatever the heck. I'm tired of being told what I got to do. Oh, Al, I got to tell you this. It comes to mind. It was mid-90s, and they're going heavy into debt, and I had a lawsuit against the state of Arizona that goes straight to the Supreme Court. Now, I've done this before. That's how it works. If the law in Arizona is if a government agency is required to do something and they don't, or they're forbidden from doing something and they do, you can do a writ of mandamus, go straight to the Supreme Court, okay? So I go, when they're being stupid. And I go, and they go, damn it, I hate when Ernie does that. So when I did, I get a call from the governor's office, the head accounting, Wall Street guy, that's a general accounting office head of the legislature, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, look, man, there's good debt. We need to have some good debt. You got to admit there's some good debt. I go, all right, pray tell, give me this good debt of yours. And they go, well, if you're paying for roads and You can't afford to, you know, pay it all at one time to do this big freeway system. We get to make a bunch of money. And he goes, so you do a bond, you know, out 30 years. You know, because if your kids, you paid for it, and then your kids and grandkids drive on the road, and they don't have to pay for it, that's not fair. You should make them pay for it with interest. And I'm going, wow. I go, you're the reason. And he goes, what? Why I don't have flying cars. You're paying me. I'm out 30 years. I got to pay for these roads. So, screw you, man. So anyway, that's why. What happened, Matt and Dave from Virgins, they were saying, you know, we need a sign, something like, we are not the enemy. We are fighting the enemy. Well, Al goes, well, we the people are not the enemy. I go, good ad. You know, see, you need a 20-year-old to come up with some cool signs. So this is the thing I'm hoping you're doing. Have you jotted down any of your ideas or anything?
As far as what?
For signs. Yeah, that's how it happens, man. You inhale, or you have a beer, or you're eating pizza in the hot tub with buddies or whatever, and you just go, oh, you know what would be cool? Boom. Then you tell me. Yeah. Or I showed you and Rick how to make your own signs. You know, Rick's been doing that with the digital projector onto the waterproof wallboard stuff. You know, you could do it yourself now, man. Boom. Rock and roll.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely start thinking of some now that I know I got the, you know, the creative genius.
Yeah. Of course you do. I always ask a 12-year-old. Yeah, give me a good idea, 12-year-old. All right, so this is, you know, your life there in a small town in Michigan is what? I mean, what are you trying to protect? I mean, you've been to Colorado, you're in Texas now. Is Michigan your home? You want to make it free there? I mean, what's your goal long term?
I mean, honestly, it's mostly altruistic, not entirely altruistic. Like, I obviously care about my freedom and like my future. But more so I care about, you know, the kind of like the soul of humanity, and it's currently being sucked away. And, you know, I'm scared for a future where, you know, there's just total government control. Everybody's just a cog in the machine even more than we are now. And, you know, my ultimate goal is just fighting for the people and fighting for the future of, you know, the human race.
You know, I tell you how I word that is, you know, I want to be free. I want to be left alone. And the only way I know how to achieve that is advocate it for everybody. Because you can't just do it for yourself. Hell, you're just they, them, those, you know, sucking off of the sociopath. If I took somebody else's money, look how free I am. I got a mansion, you know. But if you want to be an ethical, good person, an example to your kids and grandkids, then you have to advocate for this kind of freedom for everybody. Because if you don't, then you're just a bad guy, you know. So, You know, that's kind of the sentiment I think I share with you. And it's like, you know, why do you do this? Do you get, like, paid, make a lot of money? Or no. You know, freedom's not, you know, the freedom fighters never get rewarded other than with freedom, you know, and as an example and whatever it gives you inside, the satisfaction. So I'm glad that you found this outlet. Were you always this kind of way? I mean, you're only 20. I mean, were you a rabble-rouser fifth grader on South Park, you know, I don't want to have to vote for a turd or a deuce sandwich or what?
So it's funny you should mention that. Actually, back in high school, a lot of people said I was like Eric Cartman. I used to like to just stir the pot, you know. I always kind of had this, like, you know, this from a young age, like everyone's too wound up. Everyone's too, you know, self-involved and like just, you know, sucked in. So I was like, I always liked to just take a step back and, you know, like, you know, kind of poke fun at these people that are, you know, just so involved in all this stuff and just, you know, face deep in all of it. I've always kind of been like a bit of a troublemaker, you know. I've never, you know, submitted to authority, I guess you would say. I've always, you know, questioned, like, if, you know, a teacher says, like, oh, got to do this, this, and that. Why? Just because I said so. That's not good enough.
Respect my authority. You know,
yeah, my authority.
You know, one thing that is of interest to me is the mantra that the teachers had, and thinking that they're justified in saying that it's my classroom. It's not the parents. I got your kids now. So saith the law, so shall it be written, so shall it be done, that they're mine. And then when they went online, and gosh darn it, the damn parents and uncles and grandparents were sitting there watching the crap that they're downloading into these little kids' brains, they're going, you're not allowed, you know? This mindset, yeah. Are you experiencing that with your friends and stuff?
Say it again. I'm sorry, you cut out.
No, I mean, if you're experiencing that mindset with the teachers that they believe that they're their children or something, you know, I don't, you know, you're not going to school now, are you?
No, I'm not. But I have a lot of friends that go to school, and yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of people that I'm friends with that go to school know that they're, you know, being indoctrinated basically, but they're like, well, I got to do this to get this job and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I respect that, but, you know, they know that they're being indoctrinated and they, you know, they still choose to be enrolled and choose to be there. Like, for example, my friend Adam, his girlfriend was doing her Zoom class and they broke out into separate rooms. And these girls started talking about how, you know, it was supposed to be about ICE, you know, the immigration service. And these girls started, you know, talking about how Trump is the worst thing ever. And Trump likes Hitler and agrees with everything that Hitler had to say. And like the, you know, my friend's girlfriend, Kylie, was just sitting there like, what am I listening to? And then they, you know, the teacher came in and the teacher was like, oh, okay, very nice discussion. Like.
Kudos.
Yeah, so they know.
You said it right.
Know.
You know, one of my sons, when he got his bachelor's and as he was doing all his stuff, so let me see some of your paper. What'd you write? He had one of his economics things out, and I'm reading it, and I'm going, really? And he goes, look, Dad, I know. I just got to get my grade of whatever, and I get out of the kind of, all right, I'm, you know, what's he going to do? Be an activist, start being a pain in the butt. You know, he goes, he understood how the game worked. He's just like, I get my bachelor's to do this thing. They already had the job to be able to management of whatever the hell. And I'm going, all right, you know, you're old enough. You know, you had a family by then. So I'm just, you know, you're a man. But he understood. He knew. And I don't know if these guys really understand. They're going, you have to kiss this ring. You have to do it this way. Or you don't get the promised goodies of, you know, the BMW and the white picket fence. And I'm going, after a while, some people, that doesn't mean anything anymore, especially when industry doesn't respect the degrees. And now you have, when we come back from break, we're going to be talking to Al about a lot of the friends that go to universities around there in Michigan and how they're, you know, indoctrinating them or threatening them. You're not going to get a degree. You're going to get, you know, expelled. You're going to get if you don't. Sieg Heil, put your heels to the mask wearing of the social distancing if you can't have a party. Okay. All right. We'll see how that works. When we come back, and when's it going to stop? After the election? The selection? I don't know. Al will tell us.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And another independence declaring kind of individual, Al Espinoza. Now, we were talking about off air, a lot of his friends are just, you know, especially if they're in the trades or something, this is just stupid. They're not activists. Hey, glad you're out there doing it, Al, but, you know, it's just stupid. I don't care, it's stupid. But if you get a degree, you know, it seems like you got your indoctrination slip. Yes, I have been fully indoctrinated into the system of I do what I'm told kind of thing. You know, now what's the response you get from your friends at the university? Hey, man, I'm just doing my time. Is that everybody or some of them or, you know, the smarter ones or the not so smart ones? Kind of describe it for us.
I mean, it's most people that I've talked to are just kind of like, like I'm not really learning much. Like I don't, I don't exactly want to go through college, but I'm doing it so I can get my piece of paper so I can get a job that I want. You know what I mean? It's, I know, some of my friends that are going to college, you know, they have to, wear the masks everywhere if they're outside of their dorms. And, you know, some of my friends have actually had their schools closed down because, you know, there was a COVID outbreak and, you know, my friend at Saginaw Valley State, he's they're doing a testing, basically like a rotation. So everybody has to get tested if you're enrolled at SVSU. So, I mean, a lot of my friends are, you know, kind of against it, but like softly, they're just kind of like, eh, I don't agree with it, but I'll go along with it. Sure.
What about mandatory vaccinations? You know, what about, you know, you got to get a shot. You're not allowed to go out the shot. You need a shot. Bill Gates said shot. I mean, what about that?
That's the one thing I'm very happy I've gotten through. As far as I know, none of my friends will take that shot. They said even if they're forced to take it, they're not taking that shot. You know, I kind of explained the whole, what's it called, the mRNA vaccine and the, you know, the microchip and all that stuff. And, you know, how basically how it's experimental, it's rushed and it's not safe. And they're all kind of like, yeah, you know what, that makes sense.
Well, no, the RNA, they want to change your DNA. It's going to get to the point where you get the men and women, young men and women doing it, their offspring. This is a 20-year down the road of what the hell did we do thing. You know, I'm that notions and potions mandated by the crown is always a bad idea. Just the concept, regardless of the intent, you know, it is good intentions to have, you know, to the gates of hell. Oh, that was another one. Who, God, I think Donna came up with that. You know, gates of hell, you know, so it'd be Bill Gates kind of, we got to come up with some kind of slogan with that. That'd be good. So think on that one, gates of hell. Work with me, okay, Al?
I'll think on it.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, you were talking about the degree thing, and I witnessed this as a restaurant manager or corporation. I've always, you know, I owned a restaurant. I've been in the restaurant industry. I was always hospitality kind of whatever, you know. I just manager, just good at that. And I've had hundreds of employees young, you know, 16 to, you know, mid-20s generally, and they come in and out. They're there a year, 6 months. You know, it just turns through, and you see society as it develops from their experiences in education, their families, and, you know, since the early 80s. So, I mean, you know, hell, I worked at McDonald's when I was at my 16th birthday. I got, you know, ooh, I need a Social Security card. Okay, I'll get that so I can get a job. Now you get it at birth or whatever, but back then you actually had to go get it. So, I, you know, before I knew any better, you go and I've been in the restaurant industry all this time, and I couldn't understand. They were sending me these college graduates. They'd have a career day, and anybody that had a degree that was willing to work for whatever fast food or restaurant chain or something, they'd hire them. You know, they could, woohoo, I got a job. They weren't hiring them for any of their skills or anything. They were hiring them for their degree. I go, these are stupid. Why? I got crew that's smarter than them. I got this kid over here, you know, it's 19, kicked the crap out of them. Man, you know, let me train and do that. Which I'd make them shift managers, and they'd move, and some of them would go on to do well. But their reasoning was, I go, explain it to me. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing talking to human resources. It was the incentives. Because there are bean counters somewhere that when they do their, they have a stock market or a public company that they have a criteria in their, I don't know, the information they send out to investors that on the line, somebody put in there that what percentage of management level has a degree. If you fall below a certain percentage, you know, then you get like a gigged on that. You know, oh, well, they have like, you know, unindoctrinated people running the thing. Can't have that, you know. So that's even more so. So that was in the 80s and early 90s. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? It's because the incentives were there to have college degree indoctrinated people being in charge of people. That's what they needed. Competency, merit didn't mean squat. It was just having that degree that they were indoctrinated. So you are correct, sir. It's by intent. And I'm going, really? So what happens to the industry now? We got these woke, stupid people. We need some unwoke. Who's on? I am unwokehireme.com. I am don't have it. All of a sudden, they're looking at certifications. They don't give a crap whether you went to 4 years of waste taxpayer money and parents' money college. You know, this is changing because it has to, because the free market makes it change. So I'm that. What's your future? What are you looking to be or do?
From a young age, I've kind of never understood jobs, like, you know, working 40 years at a job, you know, retiring and dying, basically. It's just never really made much sense to me. I mean, it's cool for other people, but basically my aspirations, I want to open up a restaurant, and I want to expand, and basically I want to get to the point where I have passive income. My money makes itself, and I can just go enjoy the world and enjoy life and just, you know, live it up, do the things that I want to do.
Well, you got to do a lot of hard work between now and then. I guarantee you that, especially in restaurants.
Oh, I totally understand. I'm willing to put in, you know, however many years I got to do to make that happen. But that's my ultimate goal.
You know, and the one thing that's interesting from a young age is what's the requirement that you have a spouse that, you know, of the same philosophy? You know, anybody that I know that they have a spouse that is not as enlightened as they are, as, you know, they're not allowed to talk about politics or something, or it's, I call it a mixed marriage or whatever. I mean, what are you thinking, you know, at a young age of 20? You know, what are you looking for in a spouse?
I'm definitely looking for somebody that's, you know, more of the same mindset as me. Obviously, I don't want, you know, an exact copy, but, you know, I think relationships are built on, you know, common morals and, you know, somewhat common beliefs. And so definitely, I don't think I could date, you know, like a woke girl, you know what I mean? BLM and, you know, transgender rights and all this, you know, I mean, like it's just a bit much for me.
Well, these women that are your age, are they looking for a metro woke somebody, something of sympathetic? Are they, you know, they always say that until they always go out with the bad boy and they need a man. I mean, you know, what are you thinking?
Roughly like most girls go for, you know, the, you know, the, I guess you could say like the jerks, you know, the ruder people.
Alpha male.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I know that, a lot of, and I was going to come off strangely, but a lot of girls in my generation have been kind of, taken over by this woke agenda. And, you know, it's not like, it's kind of like become a cult. You know what I mean? Like girls, have definitely experienced or have definitely, been sucked into it more than males in my experience.
Well, you think that's why the males,
it's not enough to believe it. You got to push it on everybody. You know what I mean? You got to, oh, you can't say that. That's offensive. Oh, you can't blah, blah, blah. Like,
so
blah,
do you
blah,
think
blah,
that incentivizes the males to be this way is because that's where the women are?
Yeah, it's kind of brought the males down to like, you know, just kind of like, okay, yeah, like, yep, just kind of like, you know, agree and go along with it. Yeah, I personally can't, you know, I'm going to be me.
You seem like a confident, self-assured young man at 20. I mean, you have a much wider understanding of a lot of stuff because I guess it's what you listen to and, you know, what you've been exposed to. And it's great. It's great to have met you. I look forward to helping people just like you, Al, you know, and your friends. So I'm like, because I remember at that age, I had, I'm paying it forward because there were people such as me now. I remember them as being all the gray haired kind of guy. Why are they so generous with their and help? Because they were seeing the benefit of having a clear mind that understood what was going on and had the strength and the energy to do good. Being real good, you know, the good for the good of the individual. So you got me on your team, Al. We're in, man. I'll be seeing you in Michigan. You'll be in Michigan within a week or so, you think?
Yeah, next couple of days.
Now check in with Rick, man. He's freaking out. You know, he's been waiting.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most.
We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Here in the Stancock from live from Bangor, Maine. Yeah, we're going to be going back to Virgins. We just had a show on that first hour. They need some hip, you know. Yep. And then we just talked to Al Espinosa. We're going back to Michigan on our way to the Pacific Northwest, doing some signs. Wear a sign. You know, what's one thing that you've been hearing from me, we've been advocating, we're going on and on and on and on about? Hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. Now, the first thing is I want uncensorability. I want to be able to put something where it's always available and they can suck it. They can't, you know, IPFS. So we've been working on this for a few years. And the last year and a half, we started putting, all of a sudden now all the people like our guest is we need to have some immutability in our data and make sure that it's there. Because if it's not, it's not. So what are we going to do? Well, IPFS is pretty good about being able to have the data always available, but what about privacy? Well, if you can't find a hash, I mean, I guess, but I mean, it's we need to have hailing frequencies invisible to crown. Third letter of Captain Mark, PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Go read that, and you'll see what I'm looking for. I need to be able to communicate without having to censor my thoughts, because then you're lying to yourself. You're not being you. You don't even know what you is if you're worried about what you're going to put on some social media. Well, a gentleman came to our attention, and he's definitely, for the past year or so, been focusing on this, and I watched his intro video, and it's all about his career as an IT expert going back for decades, and he's like, look, man, if I can find you, they can find you, we can find you, I find you. And then what do we do to not be able to find you? And why is that important? He's an internet privacy guy, a public interest hacker and technologist. He uses his extensive knowledge of cybersecurity and tech to serve the public good. There are enough tech people focused on the corporate side, you know, but very few care about what happens to the average person. He cares about privacy. He warns you of digital manipulation, disinformation, mass surveillance. He's also discussed alternative communication modes, especially with a prepper focus. Now, it's just ham radio. Oh, I want to talk about that. SDR, QRP modes, whatever the heck that means, we're going to find out. Digital modes when running portable. He's a general class licensed HA radio operator, successful software architect, and have built many enterprise systems. He also has an open source social media app, Brax.me, Brax.me, Brax.me. He has a YouTube channel, you'll Brax Me, and that's, you know, starting to blow up. You know, Joe Rogan, you know, binge watched him and started saying, you know, whoa, all of a sudden he got busy, you know. So he's got a Patreon page, you know, he's got, then I'll call his communication public keys of whatever. So first thing is I want to talk about, you kind of piqued my interest here, Rob Braxman. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Yes, the YouTube channel is actually Rob Braxman Tech.
Rob Braxman Tech. Okay, yeah, make sure you go check that out. All right, now this is something as young activists, you know, I'm 59 years old, born 61, graduated high school 79. I kind of come up as a young adult, you know, into the internet and, you know, email, and as activists, political activists, we were using fax trees and putting signs up, which is what we're doing now to bypass all the censorship. We're just like, I go, I know how to get people, you know, hell, it's QR codes and I got a sign. I mean, you know, are you kidding me? We are like the Ron Paul Revolution in 08. They can't censor a sign and go take it down after 100,000 people saw it on the overpass. But, you know, we can just go straight to the people. But then, of course, they want to track you and everything. But in the 90s, you'll be surprised what I want to ask you. It was ham radio. With ham radio, they had the ability, I was demonstrated, that they could send messages encrypted over the airwaves, text messages like emailing over the air. And I'm going, well, hell, I want that. Give me. That's for the zombie apocalypse if I get to communicate. And then they go, oh, no, the licensing, you're not allowed. And can I go, can I buy that piece of hardware? Yes. Can I do this? Yes, but you're not supposed to. I go, when I want to do it, I don't give a crap what they say, you know? So right now, go ahead and take the rest of this segment. We got like 5 minutes to explain to the people how pack radio, ham radio would work and what its capabilities are. Would you please, Rob?
You are absolutely right. You cannot actually, you're not allowed to encrypt over the air. So encryption is not possible legally. But I actually did a video. In fact, it's still on there, and it's called mesh networking. Mm. And what I did was connect my boat to my house using a mesh network, using what do you call this? Just 2.4 gigahertz, or actually 5 gigahertz in my case. And I was able to connect without the internet. So now, yes, it's not encrypted, but it's not the internet. You can actually, you know, you can actually create a community if people have these devices and communicate with each other without the internet.
Okay, now
and then you can actually use internet apps.
No, I understand, but I'm saying, you know, it's not encrypted, but it could be.
Oh, yes, it could be. Yes, you're right. It could be. But
that'd be illegal. That'd be bad, right?
It's not allowed by the license.
Why? Yet. It's ones and zeros.
It's ham radio.
So? I mean, why did they pass that law? You can't use the public waves to send encrypted because why? Because they want to be able to...
You know what? If you actually think about it, it's kind of weird because when we do mesh radio, for example, we use five gigahertz, which you know is used in Wi-Fi, right?
Yep.
Did you know that your Wi-Fi is encrypted?
I know a lot of the geeks keep telling me that, and they want it to be open or get the older ones so that you can do...
No, but your 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi to use at home, that's encrypted. But yes, the one that we use for ham radio, which is, I believe it's 5.4 gigahertz, we're not allowed to encrypt. It's very funny.
No, you can. See, I want to make sure that I'll have...
We're not allowed to, yes.
Right, right. Well, you know, I can do it, you know, but... and the time that I think I might want to do it, I'm probably not caring what they say.
You mean when the shit hits the fan?
Exactly.
You're right.
So
you're right,
mesh,
and
mesh,
you can do it.
So now we have that capability over the air. Now, this is something you'll freedom activist in the 90s, you know, what are we saying? We're going... Well, you can do that? Well, hell, let's do that. Well, you're not allowed. Well, yeah, I'm not allowed. You think I got a long list of I'm not allowed. I don't care. You know, and so just add this one, you know. But the capability, a lot of us have purchased, you know, really good ham radio outfits. A lot of guys, I got little handheld ones that go a couple of miles, and we can do different things, you know, just for when we need to. But and then you have repeaters and so on. But this kind of builds into mesh networks. Now tell me, do you think mesh networking is going to be the future? Is that coming?
No, because we don't have the infrastructure. You know what? You know what? I wish people were aware of this, because if let's say on your street, if a lot of people, like every other house, had one of these, we would have an alternate internet. We don't need the internet, because then the radio waves will just be propagated throughout. And I try to do it here in L.A.
Oh, we want to hear all about that after the break. I'm sorry, man. Now we're going to have a break. 4 minutes. We'll be right back. Mesh networking. He did it. Now, they're doing it in Phoenix. I hook up with these guys. You know, it's there if you want it. And I think we're going to be wanting it. We're going to talk to a guy that knows how to do it. How to do it. We'll be right back. Rob Braxton. All over the place.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
With Rob Braxman, your new best friend. Now, I'm telling you, you guys want into all the stuff that we've been talking about. How do you get hailing frequencies invisible to the crown? Well, he's going to explain it to us. Now, we were talking about mesh networking and what you were doing in Los Angeles, which is a metropolitan, densely got a bunch of geek people doing kind of what, where are you at on mesh network? Tell me all about it.
Well, there's already an existing emergency network for ham radio operators. It's called ARDN, A-R-E-D-N. And I actually have a dish that connects to the network. Kind of, it's centralized only in the sense that there's a dish in the mountain, which is Mount Wilson over here.
All right, and Mount Wilson is where? How far away from downtown LA is it?
It's about 30 miles from the beach.
Okay.
So and I'm near the beach. So I point my my dish antenna to it, and then it disseminates. Anyone pointing to the same mesh, anyone pointing to that same dish can now connect to each other on your own private internet. It's not like having a LAN. And then you can all do whatever you want to do. Now, we're restricted in what we're supposed to do, as I already said to you, but it's actually the same internet-like thing. You can run a website. You can do anything. You can do voice, video, which I did. So I actually did the same thing, but on a smaller scale. I connected the same system here, but to my boat. So there's like several nodes I connected, and then I went to Mount Wilson. The only problem is it's so far away, because what I need in the middle are many more people doing it. If you get a lot of people doing it, then this can actually operate.
Yeah, you need some pirates, man. You need some pirates.
That's right.
Yeah, you want some, you get hooked up on pirates. We'll hook your butt up. I'll tell you what. You've been to Freedom's Phoenix. Can I get what we do? You get you're willing to work with me. You get me a banner ad promoting what you're doing, and I'll put it up, because I need these kind of solutions. We'll put it up on, you know, pirates. And after, you want to be a pirate? Talk to Rob, man. He'll pirate you up.
Well, you know, I kind of gave up, so that's a problem. You know, I kind of pushed this last year, and I didn't get any attention. And I said, well, you know, let me move on to other things. So it was kind of frustrating, because you need a little bit of mass action for this to work.
Oh, you mean like what's happening now?
Because the only way to make this work is, you know, if enough people participate in it, it can work. But if you have a handful, that people are too far apart. So some people are trying to do this in different areas and are not able to do it because there's not enough mesh connections.
Well, what do you think of Starlink? You know, we're starting to have, you know, I have friends up in Washington, northern latitudes in America and southern Canada. I guess they did that so they could get, I don't know, like New York City, London thing or something was their goal for financial, whatever the heck. So Elon Musk comes in with Starlink and you get gig up, down, or even, you know, good speeds. You know, maybe not that yet, but it's really, I put it on top of my bus. I don't have to worry about internet connection anymore, but it's ones and zeros. I want to know how much up Uncle Sam's butt Elon is of what ones and zeros I can or can't do. It's like with a ham radio thing. I can do the encryption. I can do this stuff, but they go, nope, you're not allowed. I'm going, well, you know, can I or can I not do it? Yeah, but we don't like it. I'm like, oh, you're confusing me with somebody that cares. You know, so this Starlink, is that going to be, you know, freedom ones and zeros? Are they going to regulate that too? And how would they?
Well, of course they will regulate it. Come on.
Yeah, man. Well, they're just like they regulate ham radio just because they can.
Do you think they're actually going to give you a free way to communicate and not encrypt it?
Yeah, but Rob, come on. Mr. Rob Braxton, Braxton can maybe get around something. What do you think?
Well, you know, let me just tell you a little secret that I tell my viewers that people don't understand, that the issue isn't about necessarily about secrecy and encryption. That may be for some people, okay? But if you're Snowden, that's something you would be concerned about, secrecy. Because we all know who Snowden is. He just needs to be secret. But the rest of us have an actual piece of ammunition in our pockets that we don't understand, and that is identity. If you withhold your identity, you actually get privacy. And that's one of the secrets that I've been trying to show. And that's what we can utilize now. That's what about phones and everything else. If you can hold on to your identity on the internet, on social media, you can actually get privacy, because they cannot connect your activity to your identity if you do certain things.
Well, hell, I want to know all these certain things. You know, what certain thing I got to do?
Well, for example, one of the things I talk about on my channel is about de-Googled phones.
Yep.
Now, why? Why do I talk about that?
Because Google's a mass surveillance system. That's why.
Well, of course. But the thing is, what's your ammunition against that? What's your ammunition against that? And the thing is that your phone, I mean, how many of your viewers have Google and iOS, Android and iOS? 100%, right? And you give up your identity with your phone. That's the standard one that they sell you at the store.
Yeah, you got to click. I totally agree about 400 times. So
yes, you know. but the moment you use a phone from Google or Android, you have given up your Google ID and your Apple ID. Here's the difference with the phones that I do. My phones have never logged in. They use Android. They have never logged in. Therefore, there's nothing to identify it to anyone.
Well, what use functions do you get out of it? I mean, you know, because
it's the same as a normal phone, except that there's no Google apps on it of any sort. There's no YouTube. There's no Google Drive. There's no Google Maps. And you find substitutes for that. You use open source maps. You most apps work.
Do you have a Uber list of works. These apps? Because the first thing I do.
Most of them, 90% work.
Well, I have a Linux laptop. ThinkPenguin is a company years ago that I've been screaming. I go, everybody, all the tech guys like you, they go, well, you adjust this and you adjust that. And I look at my keyboard and I go, where's this adjust button you guys keep talking about? You know, I need a grandma adjust button. I need to just, you know, give me this and I go like that. And if it's not grandma easy, you're not going to get the wide adoption. So is there a particular
solution? The Android solution is called Android Open Source Project. So what happens is when you buy a Google phone, it's actually made up of two parts or three parts.
Okay, I want Donna to put this up in the show notes right now. She should put up what?
Android Open Source Project. That's
Android
the basis
Open
of all
Source
Android.
Project, Donna. Get that up there. Okay.
Or AOSP. That is the basis of Android.
All right.
Okay, what is unique about Android Open Source Project is it's open source. It's on the internet. You can look at the source code. And there's no Google in it, even though Google built Android Open Source Project.
Yeah.
So what happens is this. When you buy a phone, Google makes Android Open Source Project, and other people contribute, not just Google. And then that is given to the phone manufacturer, the OEM, like let's say it's LG or Lenovo or...
Yeah, it's like Windows on your HP.
Samsung.
Yeah.
So then what happens is those companies then put their additional software...
Okay, we're going
OEM.
Into break. We're getting right into it. Hold on a second. You know, it's Android open. When we come back, we're going to get right to it. Right to it. And I think what we're going to do is next week we'll set up a time. We get back in the bus. We're going to be doing a podcast, no commercial interruption. Go till we're done, and Rob will explain it to us. We're going to get you all being pirates. Pirates. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Rob Braxman. Rob Braxman, you just put it in your search engine of anything, and boom, he's blowing up now. Well, he's from the beginning, he was always... knows that every freaking bite he puts up there or tide day, it's saved for somebody. And I've had the same knowledge. So I'm very happy. All the shows that I've done, thousands since 2003, and I'll pull it out. You know, bring it on, man. I because I've known that it's all being, so you got to be careful what you say, but how careful do I have to be? I mean, what can or can I say? Well, here comes the social justice of you're not allowed to have any other opinion but ours. And then, you know, Rogan goes over to Spotify, and now the employees want to censor him or we're going to quit. Well, quit. Screw you, man. I'm like, you know, so this is the biggest thing that Rob is talking about is you don't have to be secret. You could say whatever you want as long as they don't know it was you saying it. So tell me about that. You know, you're going this anonymity thing. Is it easy, not easy? Can you help us?
It's not anonymity. That's the thing. It's pseudo-anonymity.
Okay,
so
define
anonymity means anonymity is nobody knows who's saying what. And actually on my app, BraxMe, you know, people can be anonymous. But that's not really useful because you don't know who you're talking to. It's like just posting unidentified messages on a wall. But pseudo-anonymity is when you use some name like Rebel. So I'm Rebel One. That's an identity. Then you actually go on the internet with an identity and people associate with that. Like I've been going on the internet since the beginning. And I'm actually been on the internet since the very, very beginning. But for some reason, I already knew that everyone was reading everything, including emails. So I've always partitioned my identity since the very beginning. And I actually was aware of this. Now, people go into the internet using their real name, and they now cannot separate real life from, let's say, social media, which I've always been able to do because I have never mixed it up. And you have, that's one of the things I teach. You got to understand when you go to social media, you got to partition your identities. It's really about identity. The data means nothing without an identity.
Yeah, but data once they find it, but once they link it, then all that opens up.
Well, that's why you have to take the precautions to not link it. And you're linked by just a few things. Location, IP address, email address are the three biggest ones, and of course your name. And if you break that connection, then it's easy. They're not able to actually connect all of that. The problem is those pieces of data I just mentioned, they're sold. So if you don't have a VPN, for example, they sell your IP address with location. So now if they know your location, they can find your IP address. If they know your IP address, they can find your location. If they can find any of those two, they can find your email address. And there you go.
You know, we've gone, because I'm not a technologist, and I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, I go, if you're going to be on a list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. And the point that I'm making is that, you know, I try, maybe they don't want a martyr, you know, but, and I don't advocate, you know, anything other than just leave me aloneism, but that's kind of how I've been able to protect myself is one, not be stupid. And, the big thing is like, yeah, I'm here, you know, here I am on top of the list. Am I safer, you know, or not? What do you think?
Well, see, there's two kinds of things you got to do on the internet. And I understand that somebody famous can protect themselves by having a lot of supporters. Yes, I understand that. But as you know, you can get cut off pretty easily,
yeah.
Right? They don't like you. You know, the big players, the Google and the Apple will say, oh, you're not following our terms of service. You're done. So that's why I made my own app. My app is BraxMe. And one of the things about my app is it's uncensored. And I don't really care about what you say on it. Anyone can come in and create a following and say whatever they want because it's also based on pseudo anonymity. When you come in, you don't even have to use your real name. So if you have a identity that you want to promote an idea, and like you said, I see on your wall there it said Rebel. And if you want to say, okay, I'll be Rebel, that's okay. And that's the best way. My app, for example, does not track IP addresses and doesn't even require an email.
So I can go on Brax. I can do right now and go on Brax.me, create an account. Can I post video, audio, MP3s, MP4s?
I fund it myself, so there's a limit if you're going to put a lot of stuff. But you can put links.
But what if I pay?
You can, yes.
I can pay for data. I say, all right, I need to put up a gazillion gig. See, this is my problem. I have 15 hours a week minimum of video that I like to put up. That's a lot, you know, and we have our own servers, but, you know, I'd like to have an interactive social media. So we have different ones like, you know, we have, you know, Library, Steam, Float, you know, what's now Odyssey, all this stuff. But we're working with the Float guys because what we want is what YouTube offered is as I stream, it automatically loads it. I don't have to load it later. I giving them the ones and zeros, just post it, you know. Well, these are things that take a lot of time, effort, money. And so I go, look, what's it cost? How much do you want me to promote you? How much I got
to
pay
you? You don't need to upload the videos again if you already have it. Then all you do is share it. There's no need to do it again.
Yeah, no, that's my vote. But, you know, there's like stuff has to happen. But the so now we're looking at wanting to promote, whether it has a big audience. I don't care. I know that you have the function and the abilities that the mass people are going, man, I'm freaking over there because I'm over there. If Brax.me has the ability for us to be pirate, if you could have a social media to where we have Pirates. Now, one of the letters in there is reputation. It's under the first mate. We have letters of mark and reprisal. The reprisal character has done a reputation thing you might be interested in, and that's what we're looking to incorporate into a social media thing. It might be yours. So if I, right now, can I have a channel for the show that we can start doing and encouraging pirates to go be pirate on your pirate network?
Yeah, you can set up, if you have a paid account, you can actually have a private area, and the private area is just yours.
So, well, we used like Telegram as a good kind of a chat thing and do some stuff there. It seems to be effective, but it's not. It's tied to your freaking phone number. Oh, it's private. I go, do you have it on your phone number? Well, how private is that? I mean, you know, come on. Well, who are we kidding?
You know, Telegram is fine. The problem is this phone number thing is the metadata that actually identifies you. That's why I don't like any app that takes a phone number.
Right.
Because once you do that, then guess what happens in Telegram? It also collects your contact list. So the moment you connect on Telegram, everyone that you know is aware that you're on Telegram. And then where's the privacy in that? Because one of the ways you're identified is through a contact list.
Yep.
So that's what really freaks me out.
Well, you know what happens is, you know, everybody thinks we're all private and we're going to this Russian kind of, you know, hacker Telegram board. And anybody that's in my contact list, when they sign up, they go, so-and-so has joined. So I always send them in
right.
a text
exactly.
And I go, I see you. And they go, what? And I go, yeah, what'd you think you were private?
Same thing with Signal. Signal is a great app, but my goodness, you know, this idea of sharing contacts and phone numbers is just, not good. So I only use Signal with people in my family. That's it. Because they already know my phone number. I only use Signal with people who already know my phone number. So so now it's come to a different thing where I say, I am not even going to share you my phone numbers because somebody might put it in a contact list and then I'll show up on Signal and all these different apps.
Are you developing...
The contact list is very important.
Are you developing Brax.me as a... As a future thing, a thing, it's going to become a thing.
No, Brax.me is was a side project I did many years ago, and I've open sourced it. You know, it's not something that I have to pay attention to it now because it's growing.
It's going to grow. We're going to talk about it more when we come back with Rob Braxman. Oh, who loves you guys? I hook you up. Yeah, go check it out. Lots of good information. Deplatform your phone.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Rob Braxman. Brax.me is kind of a side project, working on kind of show. It could be done. It didn't get quite picked up enough, but it was a proof of concept of maybe someday we'll be pimping it. You know, you know, where he found his motivation was in the healthcare industry doing health records and so on in the early 90s. And then it comes up to Obama and they want to, you know, standardize everything. Hell, HIPAA even started before that. And Health Information Privacy Protection Act, I think is what it is. And I'm going, they're just consolidating for we rule you and what you can and can't do. And we know what you got and what ails you. And when the hitman comes, make sure you kick his left knee first to put him down because he's got a damage of whatever the hell. You know, I'm just like, this is, it's so Orwellian. I mean, I don't use that word a lot, but I mean, damn. So what are the motivation for what you do, Rob? Is it fear of the future? Or are you optimistic and you need to share with people? I mean, What do you think your driving force is?
Optimism is not on the top of the list at the moment. I'm telling you that. But I need to get an army of people that really care, that say, you know, privacy is important. And we see what happened was when these phones came out, then we actually gave up. We gave everything up. I couldn't believe.
For convenience.
Before all this happened, people were saying, oh, Big Brother, I don't want to be chipped. I'm not going to go allow anybody to put a chip on me. And now they carry the phone that is the chip because who leaves their phone? So now all of your activities being tracked, all of your locations are being tracked. And it's just, you know, it just upsets me. And then we have this app called Facebook that is the most evil thing on this planet, and I call it the zucking planet because it zucks you up.
How did I not hear that?
I invented,
anymore?
By the way.
Trademark, Rob Braxman.
What the zuck is my invention. It's on Urban Dictionary. So I said it so often, it actually got on Urban Dictionary. So the whole thing is that why, by the way, when somebody wants to find information about you, where do you think they go when they want to dox you? They go on zucking Facebook. And people are going there saying, it's so convenient. I mean, my gosh, what have you given up? What have you given up to be on this platform?
Here, crazy. I'll give you an example. This is what really, I use a lot, and it just pissed me off. My youngest daughter, when her son, before he was born, I have 12 grandkids, 4 kids, man, I'm in. So my youngest one, she had one of those sonogram super 3D, hell, it might as well be a baby portrait, And she took that and she put it on Facebook and sent to the family. Now my grandson is facial recognition. He hadn't even been born yet.
Can you believe that nowadays young parents post an identity of their kids with their name and their facial recognition from the time that they're born? It's like crazy. So you're not giving these kids an option. They're going to grow up with facial recognition.
And a social security number.
Grow up without an option to go pseudo anonymous. The whole thing about my thing on the internet is to be pseudo anonymous. You cannot be pseudo anonymous if your face is plastered on the internet.
Now when you say pseudo anonymity, you're talking about, they can see the writing on the wall. They just don't link it to anything.
Right. Well, you can talk. You assume an identity for the moment. Let's say you like cars. So you can say Car Guru. That's your name. Not your real name, but that's your identity. I'm Car Guru. Let's say you like playing guitar. You're a guitar man. These things give you an identity, but it's not an identity that's permanently tied to you. You can disassociate yourself as long as you take care to disassociate your email address and your phone number. That's why you got to have multiple phone numbers so you can do this, and multiple emails. And then when you do that and multiple IP addresses, or use a VPN so that there's no fixed IP address attached to you. If you do this, then it's very, very difficult to match. And then don't go on Facebook. Some of this is not rocket science.
One of the listeners in the Telegram, he sent me a message here. I thought this was a good point you'd be able to ask. China must be freaking out over Starlink that will totally undermine the Great Information Wall. Is that a thing? I mean, you get some Chinese guy has a receiver on the kind of and it bypasses of – is that a concern? I didn't even think of that.
Not knowing the technology of it. If it's radio-based, you're right. But, of course, they could say it's illegal. We'll take you to jail if you ever use it. And they'll be able to trace the frequencies and then lock you up if you transmit on those frequencies. So that's a problem with RF. As you know, it's detectable. The best way to do it is on some channel that's mixed in. One of the things that you do in the Chinese firewall, of course, is encrypt your traffic or hide it, obfuscate. You don't have to actually encrypt it. You just have to hide it. A lot of the ways of hiding traffic in the Chinese firewall, for example, is to act like you're some other app. For example, you can say, I'm using Skype. And so your traffic looks like Skype, but actually it's a Tor traffic. So that's how they try to get around the Chinese firewall. But that's obfuscation. To obfuscate is, to hide in plain sight. To do a Starlink or any of these kinds of anything that uses RF, and I'm not knowledgeable about Starlink, so I can't tell you anything about it. But when you do something that is traceable to you, then that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that can succeed if the state says, well, we're going to block that frequency.
One thing that we haven't brought up, and because, we'll maybe get into it. Rob's going to stay on a little bit after show without interruption. We'll get it done. But I hesitate saying this. Here comes the QAnon thing. How anonymous are they? Is they using your tactics to be, kind of what you're talking about? Is that how it's working?
Well, obviously they're using identity management. They're hiding their identities. So making sure that they're not connected by an identity. Although I know some of the people associated with it, and some of them have been on BraxMe. So, I see them on Twitter and I see them participating in stuff on BraxMe some time ago. They haven't been back for a while. And they seem to be hiding their identities the way I'm talking about.
Well, so, you think they're being effective, or is this a sign?
I don't really know because I don't follow it.
Yeah, me neither. But I know a lot of men, they're on my ass. So you need to, Ernie, and you get the guy scheduled and they either don't show up, they don't want to talk about what you want to talk, whatever. It's a weird thing. I've been around long enough. I recognize a psyop. It may be, a good or white hats, or they think it's definitely, they're not telling, whatever. We'll talk about that another time. But I'm looking for some optimism from you. I mean, you're optimistic enough to be out there telling people about it and giving them options.
Well, you see, I'm a little bit different because, I've managed my identity for so long. And, you actually couldn't find me on the internet before I did the broadcasting. So, even though I was famous in what I was doing in my other life, nobody ever saw me on the internet. And I was very controlled with my emails and so on, and very, very controlled presence. So when I decided to go public, by the way, and you know this, when you go public, you actually have a certain kind of power that you don't have when you're being private. So if you have ideas and you don't communicate it in public, then people can misconstrue what you say. But when you go public, then it's out there and they can't stop you.
Well,
and
is
so
it because,
that's what I've been doing.
Well, it's because you're what? You're comfortable, older age, you don't want to have regret for having not shared what you know. I'm wondering why you chose now to do it.
Oh, because of my life history. People cheated me because I was quiet. Mm. So I said, you know what? Change of approach. So that's what 6 years ago I said, I'm going to go public. So then no one can say, well, you said this to me in private, like, Zuck you. So that's not going to happen anymore.
Rob Braxton, we're going to do some more here. We're going into the end of the show music. I can't hear very well over it. But I'll tell you, Zuck Facebook. I mean, he definitely has a target there and having some fun with it. We're going to continue the conversation a little bit with Rob Braxton. We're definitely going to have him out. Look forward to the next couple of weeks. We'll do a podcast. We'll be all ready for it. We'll go through some details. We'll get some links up and things to do and actual which videos to watch and so on. Go to his YouTube channel. Just put in Rob Braxton. It'll blow up all over the place. And you'll learn something. I was looking at the lift, but it's only a year, year and a half old. I mean, what do you do, like a video, what, three a week or something? I mean, it's like a lot of information there, becoming very popular because he knows there's always a Neo.